You are now listening to the Autoimmune Doc Podcast with Dr. Taylor Crick. Dr. Taylor is an expert in helping those suffering with autoimmune disease, and he himself has autoimmune disease. Autoimmunity is rampant today. The purpose of this podcast is to educate about the underlying causes and natural solutions to halt autoimmune disease progression. This podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended as medical advice. For more information from Dr. Taylor, visit www.autoimmuneeducationacademy.com. Without further ado, here's your host, Dr. Taylor Crick.
All right, welcome to the Autoimmune Doc Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Taylor Crick, and it has been a while. So today I'm back. It's been a long time since I recorded a podcast, and this is a great podcast to just get back started up again. I'm going to fill you guys in on, you know, my life, my practice, just some things like that. But the topic for today is a healing mindset, the most important thing. And if you don't already have it, you know, I'm going to talk about what sets people apart of like people that heal versus people that don't heal. And so if you're a practitioner, this is like, how do you weed people out? And if you're a patient, this is like, how do you train this? How do you become this? Or are you this type of person? And it's not to say that like, you know, there's no judgment or anything, but it's just about a healing mindset of like, hey, I'm searching for the solutions. I'm going to get well. And also just, you know, cell danger response, limbic system dysfunction, things like that. So it has been a while. You know, my practice was already pretty full and now it's fuller. So it's like, I love recording podcasts, but we're booked out, you know, a long ways. And I don't really like having a long waiting list because then people contact me and they want help. And it's like, oh yeah, you can't get in here for another couple months. So I just, you know, I haven't recorded a podcast for a while. I didn't have that much to say also. And now, you know, I've got a little vision. I've got some ideas. I've got some stuff to say. But plus our listening numbers have not gone down. So I appreciate that from everybody that's listening. Obviously, if you are a, you know, somebody that's followed the podcast for a while, I missed you. I hope you missed me. But otherwise, if you're just somebody who's, you know, kind of stumbled upon this podcast or maybe binged them and hasn't really looked at the dates, it's been, you know, several months since I recorded a podcast. So it's been a while. So I have some new ideas. Ski season is over. So seriously, like the ski season takes up a lot of my time. Because every weekend I ski and then I've got work to do and, you know, et cetera. So there's a couple of things I'm going to talk about, just even my upcoming episodes and stuff. I kind of want to start recording interviews. I think that that's a cool way for me to, you know, talk about some of the topics that I want to talk about with some experts in those areas, but also just continue tying together like, hey, how's this topic relevant for autoimmune patients? How's this topic relevant for people with chronic and complex health conditions? And still, instead of just, you know, being somebody who's clueless on it, being somebody who's really, really knowledgeable on it, but then interviewing other people. So I think that our conversations would generate a lot of value for people that are trying to solve their health puzzles, whether it be, you know, mold testing or it be, you know, immunology or it be, you know, a myriad of different experts out there, of course. Here's my next lineup too, just to let everybody know. I'm going to talk about sinuses because that's a hot topic. I'm going to record a YouTube video about it as well. And I'm going to do a podcast episode on interpreting your genetics. These are things that I have opinions on, first off, and expertise on, things that I've, you know, studied and learned for, you know, sinuses. I mean, my goodness, like, but genetics also, but also, you know, just things that I think are helpful for people managing their autoimmune journeys, managing their chronic and complex health journey. You know, genetics, obviously very famous. Sinuses is something that is gaining more fame. I'm telling you what, sinus health is the new gut health. It's just so common, even in the pandas world, in the mold world of sinuses and just inflammation in the sinuses or toxins in the sinuses, just being kind of right across the wall from mold. So it's like if you live in an apartment and you got a loud neighbor, you're going to feel that. And did I just say right across the wall from the brain? Excuse me. So right across the wall from the brain. So we see these, you know, deep limbic system, pituitary, amygdala, hypothalamus, you know, dysautonomia, optic chiasm type of weird symptoms. And it's like, okay, well, what's right across the wall from that is the optic, the olfactory nerve and the sinuses. So in driving TH17 response, and anyway, sinuses, genetics, and then I'm going to do a series on kids' health that I've started outlining. But, you know, I see a lot of kids, and I see a lot of parasites, mold, different things like that in kids, even gut health. Even, you know, for me, I just got my 5-year-old's test back. He was 4 at the time, and his gut's kind of a wreck, honestly. We did a test on my wife and my son, and my wife's is like basically fine, and my son's is like not that great. So gluten sensitivity, inflamed gut, candida, it's like, oh my gosh. And you know, we've always given him probiotics and he eats well and things like that. So it's like, okay. But kids' health, so we're buckling down on that for him and just really focusing on that. But yeah, so that's going to be my upcoming podcast series. I'm speaking, you know, I don't know when this podcast will come out, but I'm speaking this weekend at Great Plains Labs seminar. It's now called Mosaic Diagnostics. So this will be the first seminar of Mosaic Diagnostics, but they just announced that. But Great Plains seminar, speaking on organic acid testing and mitochondria. We're implementing neurofeedback into my clinic. So that's quantitative EEG brain scans, 19 channel, whatever they call it, I guess, quantitative EEG brain maps, and then neurofeedback to support those brain maps. So we got a lot going on. And, you know, again, ski season, went on vacation with my family, took them skiing in February, you know, a little while ago now. But I have 3 kids again, and, you know, just they're 8, 8, and now 5. So, like, that's a lot of work skiing with them, but it's a lot of fun. We all threw up. So on our trip, it started with my twins. The first night when we got to our hotel, they started throwing up. And then by the time we got home, it had gone through each of us like slowly day by day. So healing mindset. Now, this, I don't want this to sound like a rant. So it's not a rant. It's not at all. It's again, and it's not to say like if you're not this type of person, then you don't qualify for good care. It's not to say that at all. But your mindset, your personality, your outlook and things like that, your determination, your motivation, they're all plastic and everything can be trained. And you know, neuro-linguistic programming, you know, you can 150% train your brain to be who it is. I mean, I'm a living example of that, of like, I've read so much on mindset and affirmations and neuro-linguistic programming. It just kind of becomes who you are. And the same thing is true with healing. You can train that mindset, but I want to make sure that people understand where I'm coming from, because, you know, I sometimes you feel like a jerk when you're saying this of like, hey, that person, I don't think that person's going to get well. Well, it doesn't mean I don't want them to get well. It just means that in my expertise of seeing, you know, thousands of people, it's like, I don't think that this person has what it takes. Like, guess what? If I said that about a kid, that this kid's not going to go to the NBA, no one would think I was a jerk. But I help people for a living. This is what I do for a living. So I inherently think that people have an ability to heal. And I think that people have been, you know, duped by big medicine and by big pharmaceutical. And I think they've been lied to. And I think that I feel like this is my God-given purpose to teach people about what they can do to heal their health. So I'm not jaded. I haven't lost any hope in humanity. But I do think that there are certain types of people that are just more likely to get good results. And I choose to focus on attracting those people. And my practice, for the most part, is just full of great people. You know, we see really, you know, high level, sharp people that are also the people that are attracted to this podcast, because this is not like, hey, you should eat more blueberries. That's what my wife always says a lot, like generic blueberry posts, like eat more antioxidants. My practice is full of, you know, chronic and complex cases and people who've done AIP and not gotten well, who've run labs and not gotten well, who've been to, you know, I just had a phone call with somebody who's been to over 20 specialists. And I have a patient tomorrow who has over 40 specialists. He's been to the ER 35 times. Like, my goodness, it's crazy. But anyway, so when you help people for a living, and there's a lot of people who need your help, it's really important that you choose who to help and who not to help. And I think that's really important for practitioners to hear. I don't ever exclude anybody from my office, but there's certain hoops that jump through of even if you can't get through our paperwork process, like, guess what? You ain't gonna work in our practice. But I think it's important for practitioners to understand, and I think that it's important for patients to understand. You know, I think that when the people get used to the insurance-based medical system, they get this entitlement, like they deserve this help, and like, you know, we're all good-hearted people. We all want to help you, but this is your help. This is your life. You got to help yourself, right? So, and again, that's not selfish. It's smart, but I want to keep helping people. I don't want to burn out. That's one of the most common things in practice. And so, there are a lot of people that, you know, again, if we don't feel like we can help them, and I think that occasionally, I know that if I engage in a relationship with somebody, it's going to drain me, and then that's just not smart. And occasionally, I have to kick people out of my practice. That's pretty rare, but it's like seriously one of the healthiest things we do. It always sucks, but it's like always when that happens, it's like, okay, good riddance. You know, cut the dead weight. You know, we had somebody recently that missed an appointment and then missed another appointment and then just got like it texted my office manager like 20 times and just like we said, hey, sorry, but we can't help you anymore. And again, I don't feel good about doing that, but it does help us. So there's three metaphors that I want to go through for healing mindset of, again, good patients, people that are likely to get success when they're looking for their health. Again, I see people that have been searching for 30 years. I also see people who have long COVID and a year ago they were riding high and they were fine. So here's one of the metaphors. One is you're at the bottom of a hole. Some people are at the bottom of a hole and they're like, who pushed me down here? Why am I down here? What the heck? And that's not the type of person that I want to see. Other people are like, how do I get out of here? And they're scraping and crawling. And it's like, who cares what put me down here? Whether it was mold or it was a jab injury or it was a viral thing or it was like a car accident or whatever. They're not looking to place the blame on who pushed me down here. Why am I down here? They're more like, how do I get out of here? So that's one that I use a lot. Another one is for care and stuff, you know, it's like I'm in a burning hotel. We'll say, hey, you know, I'll go and knock on your door, but if you don't wake up and come out, I'm not going to sit and just keep knocking on your door. That's on you. Maybe you're not in there. Maybe you're still asleep. Maybe you're hungover, you know, who knows, but I'm going on. If your 201 doesn't wake up, I'm going down to 202 and saying, hey, the hotel's on fire. Let's go. And then I'm going down to 203 and saying, let's go. And I'm hoping that along the way you start knocking on doors with me. But, you know, that's something that we say in the practitioner world. I've heard that at different seminars and stuff of like, you know, kind of the next mentality. But like the world is full of drowning people. You know, that's another one of the world is full of drowning people. My lifeboat's only so big. If I throw you the lifesaver, are you swimming towards it? Are you like expecting me to pull you in and, you know, do all the things? Like, you got to put in the effort too. I think that, there was another one. I have these written down, but I think that there was another one that just even popped into my head. It was along the lines of the burning hotel. But anyway, I think those are all important metaphors of just like, again, you know, what type of patient are you? So here are some of the problems and some examples. I won't say that it's every single time, but again, you know, people who are going to get good results, they're motivated, they're highly educated, and they've been burned a few times. So they're like not oversold. They're a little bit skeptical. You know, again, they've put a lot of money. They put a lot of time. They're not like, yeah, here we go. Let's jump into this. You know, we're going to be better in 2 months. They're like, yeah, okay, I know the drill. And they're frustrated with their current care. You know, some of the best people I see are the people who have specialists, and they go to their gastroenterologist and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful to have you. Or I went to my neurologist and I remembered what a waste of time it is, or whatever the case is. I'm not saying they all are, but that's a common theme in my practice. You know, the allergist, the ENT, that's probably the biggest waste. So here's some people that, you know, some things that I hear. One, like, I was doing really good on my diet, but then blank happened and I just fell off the wagon. Well, okay, that happens. And I'm also, if you've listened to my podcast, you know that I see real people. I see moms that I went to high school with. You know, I see people in my town that I run into at Walgreens. I see people in the town that I run into at the bar. So I don't make claims that I live some perfect lifestyle or anything like that. But you know, if you have this problem that you're trying to solve, you gotta stick to a certain level of standard. The other day I saw five people, and so I wrote this down for this podcast. So one of them, first off, this was before she met me, but she was sick, she's frustrated, and she jumped into carnivore diet. Now, I'm not even saying that that was the right thing for her, but that takes some discipline and that takes some dedication. And that is a good sign when I see somebody and they're like, I'm following strict carnivore. Because what that tells me is that, like, hey, no matter what's right for this person, no matter what we find for this person's going to be disciplined. So I saw five people. One jumped right into carnivore. Two of them I had put on AIP, autoimmune paleo diet. So again, just restrictive diets. You know, I put almost everybody on a certain eating plan or recommendation, whether it be on a simple side of things like a Mito food plan, which is gluten-free and grain reduced, but just kind of like a real food paleo-ish diet. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you know, FODMAPs, low histamine, AIP, these are really, 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 really tricky and really, really restrictive and just a lot of trial and error and things like that. So diet's always something that we're evolving and working on. But so two of these people I put on AIP and they both jumped right in. Both of them were experiencing results within weeks. One of them had Crohn's. She was feeling better, you know, within weeks. The other one had like a bunch of crazy symptoms and her pain went away within 2 weeks. I actually had a free 15-minute phone consult with her. And just put her on AIP on the phone console, and she did that for like 5 months, and then now is like coming in to solve some of her other problems. But it really helped her. I was like, man, if you're willing to jump into that, like, welcome to my practice. Then the other one. Okay, so that's four people, right? Carnivore. Maybe is my math wrong? Let's just say it's four, because I don't. My math is obviously wrong. One in carnivore, two, three, and AIP. Then the other one has Hashimoto's. Came to me because she knows she has Hashimoto's. She's getting to be a little bit more knowledgeable, but she's also, and even a friend of hers told me, she was like, she hasn't quite yet divorced modern medicine. She's just trying to, you know, do both medicine and a lot of my patients, yeah, I'm not saying they need to divorce modern medicine. Don't get me wrong, but she just has more of a medical mindset and she does, she has Hashimoto's. She also has, she's on IVIG for different autoimmune conditions, which is exorbitantly expensive on the system, not out of her pocket, but on the system. But she just always has an excuse of like, well, you know, I was doing really great and then this happened. Well, I was doing really great and then this happened. Or I started going gluten-free, but then this happened. And my guess is that if I had a video camera on her shoulder following around, she has not followed any aspect of a gluten-free diet. She might have good stretches of a week where she eats a little bit less gluten-free. But, you know, again, and I'm not saying that she's never going to get there. I'm not giving up faith in her by any means. Sometimes it just takes persistence. Sometimes I can be a slow learner also. But it's just you. I see these different examples and I think, okay, this is the type of person that I want to work with more so than this person. It's like, okay, I would kind of want to grab your head and shake you, or you should go to a health coach before me for a year and then come to me after you've checked off some of those boxes. You know, and again, I'm not, again, trying to sound impatient by any means. That's just not the niche of my practice with the chronic and complex health conditions. Most of my people would be dying to be off of IVIG. And if implementing certain dietary changes is the avenue that I propose to get them there, then they're like, heck yeah, I'll try that. And it might, they also know that it might not work, but I'll explain the logic and the science and the research behind it. And it's like, heck yeah, let's try it and let's see how it goes. A couple other stories that I wrote down, you know, one of them was one of the ones that I already said, she had called me 6 months ago. And based on that call, you know, sometimes on free 15-minute phone consults, which we don't really do anymore, but on free 15-minute phone consults, I'll say, hey, I'll try to point you in the right direction. So I told her to go AIP and she never scheduled a consult with me. That was 6 months ago or 8 months ago. And that's not eight, but it was 6 months ago. Because AIP helped her 70% of the way. And now she's like, okay, now I've got these other issues and I can't reintroduce these foods and stuff. Here's another guy that I saw the other day. He said, I spent 2 years wasting my time going to allergists and ENTs and getting MRIs of my brain and getting gastro scans and things like that. And he said, finally, I became my own doctor. I realized that gut and diet are the most important. I realized that I had mold toxicity when I lived in that basement. And he got himself 90% of the way better. And then he's coming to me to try to get that last 10% and try to put some of these puzzle pieces together. Those are the type of people that I like to work with. And that's not to say that you have to be that type of person, of course, or at that place in your journey. We're all at a different place in our journey, but that tends to be the place where I see people after they've had a number of specialists or like tried a lot of things and know some of their supplements. I also see beginners. If you're a beginner, don't let this discourage you, but that's really common. But again, sometimes that just takes like years of getting burned. Most people, we all started off, you know, most of us believing in modern medicine and thinking like, hey, these are going to be the answers. Then you get discouraged, you get let down. We've all been marginalized in the chronic autoimmune health, chronic fatigue, mold, blah, 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 chronic and complex health condition space, long COVID, whatever. We've all been marginalized. We all have struggles too. And we all have lives. So to think that yours is any worse or any more misfortunate than anyone else's is like A, selfish, and B, ignorant. We all have this stuff. You just worry about you and don't compare yours to anybody else. One of the things I don't like, I have a list of things I don't like, and one of them is victims, and that'd be a victim mentality. Another thing, you know, even with our Instagram presence, which is, you know, variable as far as our commitment to that, but we get a ton of stupid questions. I mean, as you can imagine, stupid questions, stupid comments, it's unbelievable. Like my least favorite is like, what do you do about it? You know, if we make a post about mast cells or make a post about mold, it's like somebody's comments, what do you do about it? And it's like, well, don't start by asking in the Instagram comments, you know, like that's just so unimpressive to me. Like, it, listen to my podcast, dig a little bit, like, don't ask that and don't even seek your answers out there. But I had somebody comment or message me recently and they said, I've seen Pompa, Klinghart, Heyman. These are all famous detox people. And she was like, I'm still toxic. What do you think you can do for me? And you know what I said back to her? Absolutely nothing. I'm not replying to that. And that's not a person that I want to engage in conversation with. That's certainly not a person that I want to attempt to help. That sounds like she's issuing a challenge to me. And even though I like challenging cases, I don't like challenging people. And Dr. Pompa's my mentor. Klinghart's, you know, somebody that I've learned from, Heyman as well. They're all, you know, very, very, very famous people that I've learned from. And not to say that I have nothing to offer her because of that, but that doesn't make me think like, hey, ooh, let me try. It makes me think like, okay, you seem like a problem case. So here's a couple other things I don't like. And again, I'm not trying to rant, but beginners. You know, if you haven't learned yet that this is going to be hard, then first off, like, welcome to life. Like, what's easy? You know, are you married? Well, that's hard. Are you raising kids? That's hard. Are you saving money and doing things that, like, whatever, quote unquote, you're supposed to do? I'm not, you know, certainly some saint or some expert on any of this, but it's like, all those things are hard. I mean, life is hard. Like, all these things are hard. If you're expecting it to be easy, then, like, I just don't know who painted that picture for you, but especially with your health, it is hard. I'll tell you what's easy is taking a pill. I'll tell you what's easy is signing up for a surgery and having your insurance cover it. And then just following orders and being a floater. There are floaters in life and there are swimmers in life. Floating is easy. Swimming is hard. I also don't like people who don't care about the money. You know, obviously it's a business. So when people come in with an open pocketbook, that's like, you know, good for my business. But if people don't care about the money, you can tell when people are like, yeah, let's do this labs. Yeah, like they have the money. And I'm not suggesting that I don't like seeing wealthy or well-off people, but you know, if you show the value for it and you understand like what you're getting for it, then I'm fine with that. Of course, I like it when we run a lot of labs. I like it when people are willing to invest a lot in their health and taking supplements and doing, you know, whatever the case is. But I'm also bang for the buck kind of guy, but I could tell when people don't care about the money. And it's just very rarely going to work out long term. They're going to be dabblers. They're going to move on to the next shiny object because they can, and they're not probably going to put that put that work in. I don't like people who don't take their supplements. Sometimes I give people a 30-day supply of some supplement, and then I don't hear from them. And then like 90 days later, they're like, hey, I was doing really great, and then I flared. Or I give them 30 days. Is that what I said? I give them 30 days of supplements, and 90 days later, they flare. And I'm like, what do you still have around? Sometimes it's 6 months later, and they flare. And I'm like, send me a picture of what you have. And they send me their supplements, and I'm like, that was a freaking 30-day supply. Like, you didn't even take those for 30 days. Like, this is going to take months of aggressive supplementation. And it's just like, I'm sorry if I misled you, but like, if you're listening to this podcast and you're considering to become a patient, don't be misled. This is going to take a boatload of supplements for a long time. And there's just no way around that. So that drives me crazy. People who make excuses, perfectionists also, you know, people who think it's all or nothing are like, oh, I didn't get started because I just, you know, waiting for the right time or something like that. It's like, no, now's the time. The time is now or never. You don't need a watch. The time is now or never. So anyway, okay, so these also are people who tend to be like this in any area of life, that they're like, okay, if you have a problem, let's look for a solution. If you have a health problem, let's look for a solution. So, you know, if you have a lifestyle disease, if you didn't know that drinking and smoking and eating poorly would lead to health issues or not exercising, if you didn't know that that was going to lead to health issues, then I don't know what I could do to help you, because, again, I'm not calling you stupid. I'm saying that that is stupid. You know, your head is in the sand, and that's just not real life. I mean, this is just like, we all know that X leads to Z. Now, it's not to say that everybody that smokes ends up with lung cancer. It's not to say that everybody that eats McDonald's ends up with heart disease. That's not what I'm saying at all. That's not the case. But just generally, we know that bad lifestyle choices lead to bad lifestyle outcomes. So I don't really like that. Doesn't prove to me that like you're, I don't know, smart. But also, you know, that's how we all got here, I think. So again, I'm not perfect. I have many vices lifestyle wise that are probably not the healthiest choice. So there's certainly no judgment for me ever. But these are people that tend to find solutions to any problems in life, relationship. They have healthy you know, not always. I mean, I see, gosh, you know, all kinds of myriads of all walks of ages, genders, all everything, political, you know, orientation, whatever, sexual orientation, whatever. But relationship, financial, it doesn't mean that they're perfect. We all make mistakes. We all have problems, but I tend to see relatively high level people because they're people that can find solutions to problems. So yeah, and they tend to be growth minded and then learn from mistakes. And they tend to be people also who ended up like kind of driving off a health cliff without warning. You know, they you know, mold or something like sabotage their health, where their brain used to work or their immune system used to work, and then all of a sudden they started losing tolerance and whatever. So here's next, like, what do you need to do? And this is not nearly as long, but like, what do you need to do? So first off, I think that a really important thing that I'm not going to go into in too much detail. I have a YouTube video. I'll link it on the show notes. But you have to understand this thing called the cell danger response and limbic system dysfunction. So even limbic system dysfunction, first off, is like deep midline areas of the brain, like I mentioned, even with mold. And they're right just north of the olfactory bulb. So like any toxins that you breathe in or smell in, they go right up to the brain and just drive limbic activation. But the limbic system also gives you PTSD and it gets, you know, activated and dysfunctional when you've been burned by things. And it's very common for people to have health PTSD, whether they were burned by their practitioners, whether they were burned by a reaction to a supplement or a food, their cells on a cellular level have been traumatized to some degree. And it's like a turtle that's been traumatized or is scared. It goes into its turtle shell, or you know, a dog that's scared, if it's been kicked, it's going to be a little skittish. And your cells do this. And you have to understand this, because this is a fascinating concept. I have a video about it on YouTube, and there's a series of papers by Dr. Robert Navio. I think he's at a University of California, San Francisco, but it's about this cell danger response. And it shows in these papers how when your cells are experiencing danger, they express patterns that we see in a functional medicine office. Your vitamin D goes haywire. Your methylation goes haywire. Your neurotransmitters go haywire. You get all this inflammation and autoimmunity, anemia, and just gut imbalances. You know, if you look at these charts, it's unbelievable because it's all the things that you see in a functional medicine office, but it's like your cells are experiencing danger. So how do you retrain that? You remind your cells, you remind your body that it's safe and healing. And you have to do that all the time. So like, for example, this is just one example, and it's maybe an ill-prepared one, but Brendon Burchard is a very famous, you know, mindset guru, you know, kind of a Tony Robbins type of guy, but mindset guru. Tony Robbins might be slightly more famous, but Brendon Burchard's a boss. But he talks about how for a while, every time he entered a room, he would say, I'm entering this room, you know, present and you know, open to serve and, you know, generous and, you know, whatever it is. It was like, you know, a short mantra, but he said it every time he went into a room. So let's say you go into 100 rooms, you say that 100 times. Well, let's say you go into 1,000 rooms, you say that 1,000 times. Eventually, you walk into rooms and you do not have to say that anymore. Your brain just becomes that, you know, it just says that. So you have to remind your body that it's safe, that it's healing. And that can be affirmations. That can be epigrams, meaning like signs all over the house and things like that. And I just think that this is so incredibly important that you just need to keep doing this, keep doing this, keep doing this. And the other important thing with this too, with neuro-linguistic programming. Neuro-linguistic programming is, you know, the science of changing your mind and changing your mindset. It's also like the law of attraction and things like that, you know, The Secret and, you know, a lot of self-help gurus and things like that talking about neuro-linguistic programming. But it's this idea of, you know, what you see, you read, what you read, you think, what you think, you become. And so changing your mind over time, your mind is plastic. So if you tell yourself you're healing, you tell yourself you're safe, you tell yourself you're moving in a healthier direction, every day you're moving in a healthier direction, every day you're getting stronger, every day you're getting richer, every day you're getting, you know, whatever it is, it will become true. And the other interesting thing about this, especially for sick people, is it can be false. Like, your brain doesn't know what's true or what's real, you know, like your subconscious brain, it only knows what you've told it and what it's seen and the kind of interpretations that your brain has placed on that or your parents have taught you and things like that. You know, some people's parents taught them that snake is scary. Some people's parents taught them that snake was a pet. And it's like, wow, that same stimulus causes two different responses in two different people based on their history and based on their input. So you can change that. So again, I'm ranting a little bit, but like at my college, my grad school, Palmer College of Chiropractic in the 40s, 50s, 30s, they painted over it in the 50s when B.J. Palmer died, but they're almost all of it. They're still all over the place, but it used to, you should Google this. Google B.J. Palmer epigrams, and every square inch of the walls was covered by these epigrams, and they're all like these little proverbs, and I have a book of them all, and it's phenomenal. I mean, I sometimes read it for part of my morning routine and stuff like that, of just like, you just read these things. So epigrams, you're just constantly reminded. Another thing to do for this is affirmation. So the epigrams can go everywhere. Vision boards are basically epigrams. You know, I had a vision board, my wife and I had a vision board when we first got married, and we had a practice on it. This is when we were in grad school. My practice in Salt Lake, I mean, it looked exactly like it. It had like an arched roof. We had a Jeep out front of it in the vision board. We ended up having a Jeep Grand Cherokee in real life, and in the vision board is a Jeep Wrangler. But it's like, it's like so unbelievable. I think that also affirmations. You know, the thing about affirmations, you can make them custom to you. But I will laminate things and put them in my shower. That's been a really powerful thing that I really enjoy. I will encourage people, you know, I'm not a huge fan of like, you have to stand in the mirror and you have to say it really loud. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't want my neighbors hearing. I don't want my family hearing. That's just not kind of my style to do. But will I read those over 1,000 times over and over and over again? You better believe it. And, you know, you could put them on your phone. You could put them on your desktop. You could put them all over your house. But if they're about healing, if they're about safety, if they're about your brain moving in a healthier direction, if they're about your liver moving in a healthier direction, I'm not going to get into the science or act like I understand the science of how it happens. You know, I'm also a huge believer in the power of prayer, and I believe that you know, God works in mysterious ways. So I think that all of this stuff, though, has real power. Even if you're not a believer in God, you're an atheist, and you it still has power. So I think that that's regardless. But anyway, I think the affirmations, neuro-linguistic program. Then I think that the next thing is like limbic system retraining programs. Those are getting really, really popular. Annie Hopper has her DNRS, which is called Dynamic Neural Retraining System. And then the one that I slightly prefer, it's like maybe 60-40 that I prefer this one, but it's the Gupta program. The Gupta program is the one that we use clinically. And there's a new one out there too. I think I haven't looked into it much, but I know that Beth O'Hara has a new one at masscell360.com. But limbic system retraining, these are programs that have been developed specifically to teach you how to retrain your limbic system and give you a curriculum and give you exercises and give you some more structure. A lot of people need that. A lot of people want that. They're very time consuming. And I'm more of a big picture person of like, once you understand the concepts of what you're trying to do, once you understand the concepts of the cell danger response, once you understand the concepts of like retraining your brain and neuro-linguistic programming and like what you think you become type of thing, then you know, you don't need these programs, but they're very, very powerful. I'm not trying to discourage them by any means. I think that big picture, as I kind of, you know, wrap this up, I think that the body is designed to heal. So these are my big picture philosophies, that the body is designed to heal. If you give it what it needs, it's going to head in that direction. If you give it what it doesn't need, like synthetic, fake, pharma, et cetera, it's going to head in the other direction. If your body's given safety, whether that's from your parents, whether that's from, you know, because the danger is like not knowing where your next meal is coming from, not knowing if your dad's going to hit you when he gets home, not knowing if, you know, you're going to move again in 6 more months. You know, those are the things that get planted in us as kids. And I don't know if your parents love you. You know, those are the things that get deep-seated, planted as kids that are, it's dangers. It's a trauma response. And then let's say you get a mold toxin. Then your cells are screaming danger, danger, danger all the time. And that's going to happen throughout life. You're going to accumulate toxins. But the cell danger response is largely contributed to toxic burden as well. Because toxins are literally dangerous to the cell. So it's not just a psychological danger. It's like an actual danger that your body's chemically sensing and going into this cell danger response. And then I think that, you know, along the lines of when you're trying to solve your health journey, yeah, you got to have this mindset. But then there's once you have that mindset of like, I'm going to find a solution, there's so much research available that you have to be able to decipher big picture things. Do you need to focus on big picture like detoxification in your environment? And then all the things that are involved with that, methylation, sauna, you know, glucuronidation, liver, lymph, drainage pathways, etc. Do you need to focus on your immune balance, like autoimmunity? Do you need to focus on your gut health? You know, I just had a call with somebody that had mold toxicity, knew she had mold. And she's like, yeah, I did a stool test. I was 10 out of 10 inflamed. And then I did a retest and I was 10 out of 10 inflamed. I was like, well, forget mold. Like you gotta fix that. I mean, mold might be the driver and might be the cause, and they're certainly related. So I don't mean forget it, but that is the priority. Or pathogen burden, you know, is it viral reactivations? What's upstream? What do you need to focus on? And not try to hit all the things at once, not try to dabble. But really be not try to be a machine gun approach, like you're going to hit something, being more the sniper approach and aiming at one thing. And then again, like even pointing at big picture, like for you trying to solve your own health puzzle, you know, that's again, my podcast attracts people to my practice, certainly, but my main goal is to help people solve their own health puzzle. You know, I hope for all the, you know, whatever dozens of patients I've gotten from this, I think I've helped hundreds or thousands of people. You know, we get, you know, thousands of downloads a month, certainly. But my goal is to help you solve your own health puzzle. But the other thing is like, this is very, 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 very big thing. And it kind of could have gone into like the things I don't like. Anybody can write an article. Okay, so if you go online and you read an article, then you think, oh, I have thyroid issues. I have MTHFR issues. I have sinus issues. Sinus issues you probably know, but that's a bad example. I have mold issues. I hate articles. And I'm getting to the point where I hate Instagram stuff just as much because anybody can make a post. You know, you could make 1,000 posts that are all educational. How do you tie those puzzle pieces together? And I hope that even with my Instagram and people asking, what's the solution? I hope that I'm not just giving little tidbits of information. I'm trying to connect dots for people. That's my number one goal clinically and with this podcast, and help you solve your own health puzzle. So what do your symptoms all point towards, and what is working for you? You know, I had somebody else that I also had a discharge from my practice, but she read a lot about MTHFR and just could not get past the thought that she didn't need methylated B vitamins, but she flared from them. She flared from them every single time. It's like, why are you still taking those? And she's like, well, I'm taking smaller doses and things. They're like, well, I'm not telling you to take those. I don't think that you should take those. I think that your flaring is 100% contraindicating methylated Bs. I mean, those cause anxiety, cause insomnia, and that's just a sign that you're over methylated. You don't need methylated Bs. Doesn't mean you don't have a methylation piece to your puzzle. Doesn't mean that you don't have a liver piece to your puzzle. Doesn't mean that you don't have a clearance piece to your puzzle. But it tells us that methylated Bs are not your answer. But some people can't get past that. So anyway, hope that wasn't too much of a rant. Hope that was really helpful. But that's a healing mindset, how to, you know, drive towards that, how to ask good questions, how to stay disciplined, how to have a long-term goal. The last thing that I'll say with this, because again, it is another good metaphor, is I'll tell people, you know, first off, two metaphors, I guess, because I think I thought of the other one from earlier. But one is like, this is your health journey. This is your health journey. I don't want your health journey. First off, I got my own. But I can help you navigate yours based on the things that I know, based on the things that I do, based on the thousands of people that I've helped, based on my expertise. That's what I do, and I love doing it. But don't hand me the wheel. This is your health journey, and you determine if we're going to go 100 or if we're going to go 40 miles an hour and get there slowly. The other thing with that, the other metaphor with that is I always tell people, first off, the journey never ends, but as long as we know where we're starting from and where we're going to, there's a lot of different roads that can get us there, but I'm going to try to give us the fastest route. The other metaphor is that this is a marathon and not a sprint. And everyone's like, yeah, it's going to take a long time. But my point with that is like, if I run a marathon, I'm trying to run it as fast as I can. If I'm driving a road trip, I'm driving it as fast as I can too. But I don't want to burn out if it's a marathon. I don't want to get pulled over if it's a road trip. I don't want to get in a wreck either. So I don't want the trip to stop, but I want to still push it as fast as we can. And for a marathon, it's more like we're not burning out in the first mile or two. It's setting a pace that we can maintain and you know, knowing that this is a long-term journey and knowing that there's trial and error. And you know, some of the patients that I absolutely love are patients that still have symptoms, but know that they've made progress and they just express gratitude to me. Like, I don't ask for much. It's not like I'm, you know, missing gratitude in my life by any means. It's a very fulfilling job. But I, you know, the thanks I get, the you know, great results that we get, it's the fulfillment way outweighs the dead weight type of patients. But it's you know, just knowing that it's a long journey, it's hard to help people when they're looking for this, you know, navigation is appreciated by practitioners, myself and others alike. So anyway, I'll stop talking now. Stay tuned for other episodes. If you are new to the podcast, we got to have new people to the podcast where our numbers literally have maybe gone up since I last recorded an episode, which was months ago. So we're getting tons and tons of new listeners. If you're new, make sure you check out obviously past episodes. Make sure you check out my Instagram. Make sure you check out my YouTube channel where there's a lot of really good stuff. And sign up for our email list and et cetera. You can check out into working with me if you want. It's on our website. You can also buy supplements on our website. Check us out online and talk to you guys next time.